Welcome to Vice Casting Couch, Season 1, Episode 17. Today we're going to be talking about Twitter getting hacked, Microsoft bug found after 17 years, and Iranian hackers caught with their pants down. I am Ryan, and joining me today is John and Aaron as well. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic. What a great day.
How about you, John?
I hear that, Brother Aaron.
Going to church this Sunday, boy.
Oh, before we start, did y'all hear about Intel blocking higher RAM speeds from the BIOS?
That's what? A whole nother discussion,
because
man.
Because it's considered overclocking. Yeah, I just heard about this today, so I was...
Linus Tech Tips actually has a great video ranting about it.
Yes, yeah, I watched
it. Just go make Intel further lose their battle to AMD.
That was basically his point on the video, and I was like, I gotta look into this, see if this is correct, and it is. From the BIOS, they block higher RAM speeds because they're like, that's considered overclocking, and that voids your warranty.
What a bunch of tards.
It's pretty bad. Oh,
it's not even like crazy overclocking. It's just like XMP profiles and stuff like that.
No, that's not even. I don't think they know what they're talking about. But whatever.
It's all good. AMD's coming out with some new shit. They're releasing their new graphics cards supposedly in September. We'll see.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. Anyway, all right. Well, let's start with the Iranian hackers here. So, I know we've talked about them in the past. Usually, when we talk about what they've done, it's usually all alleged, because the tracks that are left behind are usually pretty slim to none. But this time, so a security research team at IBM called X-Force, nice name, stated that they obtained roughly 5 hours of video footage that was recorded directly from the screens of hackers working for a group known as Charming Kitten. According to Google, this is the same group that unsuccessfully tried to break into email accounts of President Trump's staffers, as well as allegedly trying to hack into U.S. companies working on new vaccines. It's one of the most active state-sponsored hacking/spy teams linked to the government of Iran, and the leaked videos were among 40 gigabits of data that the hackers had apparently stolen from victims' accounts, including U.S. and Greek military personnel. So, you may be asking, how did they get this info? You know, did they counter-hack them? Did they have a man on the inside? No, it was a misconfigured cloud server. They messed up the security settings, and they're basically able to get in and collect all this data on them. The videos appear to be training demonstrations that Iranian hackers made for new members on how to handle accounts after they have been compromised. Show the hackers accessing compromised Gmail and Yahoo Mail accounts to download their contents, as well as gathering other Google-hosted data from the victims. This sort of data capturing and management of hacked accounts, it's not necessarily sophisticated. I think when most people think of hacking, you know, they think of like, you know, CSI cybercrimes or whatever, you know, some guy in a ski mask at his computer. But they said, from what they've seen, it's basically just a super labor-intensive, a large-scale phishing operation. And if you're not familiar with phishing, it's basically all those, you know, scam emails you get from the Nigerian prince. That's a form of phishing, you know, asking you to wire money, and then your grandma falls for it. So the videos, nonetheless, they represent a pretty rare artifact. As I said before, usually there's not this much evidence against any hackers, especially state-sponsored hackers. They usually cover their tracks pretty well, and they'll deny it and, you know, all that stuff. But this was kind of crazy because it was literally just a bunch of videos of them actually hacking. But it is effective. One reason for this isn't the first time the Iranian hacking operation has been exposed. In the spring of 2019, another Iranian group known as Oil Rig, again, nice name, had their hacking tools, IP addresses, and their alleged victims leaked in through the Telegram app. But they didn't change their tactics at all. So obviously the tactics are working, even though they're not super, you know, sophisticated. But, I mean, I guess they're working. So I don't know what Iran's gonna say to this, but I thought it was pretty interesting.
It is pretty interesting. Did your article mention how they would use like Google Takeout, which allows them to export content from their whole Google account, like location history and information from Chrome and different Android devices? Yeah, and they were saying they hacked like over 75 different websites, ranging from like banks to like video and music streaming to sometimes stuff like pizza delivery apps and baby products.
Jeez. Okay, yeah, you must have read another article then.
Oh, yeah, no, me and you were researching the same topic. Yeah. I was trying to find the actual videos. I wanted to watch them.
As did I. I could not find them. I don't know if they were taken down. I don't know. I'll have to browse Tor and see if I can find them. But I didn't go that far yet. But I just searched for them, you know, on the normal web, and I could not find the video. So I'm guessing they were taken and scrubbed to the best of their ability, but I'm sure they're out there somewhere. If it's on the internet, it's there forever. So
I'll find it. It was interesting because in my article, they were talking about how once they did compromise these accounts, they would like delete like emails notifying like people of suspicious logins and stuff like that.
Oh, really?
To try and like hide their tracks. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah, it's kind of sad. I forgot which website it was that posted the article that was a different perspective on it that I was reading, but in there they did say that apparently, according to the video, it's not that hard for them to get into these accounts. Because, I mean, there was 40 gigs of data in there from people's accounts. And obviously, this isn't the first time they've done this. And obviously, this won't be the last time. So, to me, it seems like a lack of user training. I mean, if they're clicking on shady links or, you know, not verifying that the email was signed or encrypted or, you know, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. from what they were saying, it didn't seem like it was too hard for them to get into people's accounts, so...
Oh, yeah. And also makes me question, like, how much they actually tried to hide this, because the article I was reading said the IBM researchers, they found it because the server was associated with domains they've used in the past. Like, if I was to do this, I would make a new domain or do something along that line instead of reusing something.
Yeah, like they said, in 2019, they were exposed and they just didn't really care. They just kept on doing what they were doing. I know the Iranian government has said that, you know, they're not affiliated with them and stuff, but, I mean, it's become apparent that they're definitely state sponsored. I thought it was really interesting and kind of crazy how often this seems to happen. I mean, obviously we don't catch them every time, but it seems to work. So it's kind of sad. I don't know. Did you read anything? If Google has come out with anything saying that they're going to change anything, or because I mean, if this has been happening for years, you would think they would try to do something to keep them out. I know Google has upped their like their spam filters and stuff like that. Like, personally, I don't get nearly as many spam emails as I used to back in the day. So I know they've cracked down on that. But I mean, if they're still getting into accounts through phishing, that's kind of crazy to me.
Well, there's only so much you can do. It's just a big cat and mouse game, really. And while Google has stepped up their game with filtering out spam emails, like, there's only so much they can do.
Yeah.
Plus, I would say, like, you know, there's a massive, like, security push to these larger organizations, you know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, Google, Microsoft, you know, whoever your provider is. Mm-hmm. Like, I know for me, you know, working with a lot of companies, whenever they move to the cloud, they believe... There's this mindset that, like, oh, yeah, we moved our server to AWS, so now AWS is responsible for security. And it's like, no, that's not at all how that works. Like, AWS is responsible for their own physical security and making sure there's no misconfiguration in their network. But the management is still on you. And I feel like a lot of people, like, I know I've done Office 365 migrations where people are like, yeah, we're in Microsoft, you know, now. And it's like, okay, that doesn't mean you can just, you know, not do two-factor authentication on your email, because that's something that Microsoft recommends.
They're just a service.
So it's very interesting, like, the thinking behind that. Like, oh, yeah, you know, Google's taking care of that. And it's like, well, yes, that's why Google sent you 30 notifications about your two-factor authentication. You know what I'm saying? Like, why they put the banner up top when you're looking at this email that says, hey, be careful. This might be spam. And you're like, oh, let me click on it from Best Buy.
From Best Boo.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, it's just, you know, it, like you said, it's a gigantic cat and mouse game, but sometimes it's quite hilarious, the thinking that goes through our minds.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the same principle. You wouldn't blame your bank if someone stole your debit card. Like, yes, that you use them as a service, but you also have to keep your own stuff secure and safe. Like, yep. They don't protect you from everything. But the cloud isn't, yep. Cloud isn't magic. Well, Aaron, do you want to talk about the Microsoft bug?
Oh, I was waiting for you to ask me these questions.
Oh, well, there you go. There's your segue.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Okay, here we go. So Microsoft, in their infinite wisdom, has let us know that 17 years ago, there was a vulnerability that has persisted through Microsoft OS's for literally almost two decades. And finally, we've discovered that this is a gigantic problem. This isn't a small problem either. It's a wormable exploit in DNS, which, you know, for most organizations, like, they think, you know, Microsoft DNS, it's like not that big of a deal. You know, when I was telling my customers, you know, earlier this week, it's like, hey, we got a patch. This is a big deal. They're like, but we don't run Microsoft DNS. I was like, oh, yes, you do. I was like, do you have Active Directory? You have Microsoft DNS. They go hand in hand. And so, you know, all these people, you know, they're unaware that they have it. Microsoft has put out this, you know, it was kind of actually really, really, you know, not put out there, you know, like, because yeah. I work for a couple Microsoft distributors and I had to find out on Ars Technica. And it's like, maybe we should get an email, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Hey guys, critical flaw that allows people to, you know, remotely execute some code and get domain admin privileges. Which will just screw up our entire domain. And it was actually, you know, quite hilarious. Microsoft released in the July 2020 monthly roll-up, they released the patch on there for Windows servers.
Mm-hmm.
And then they also released a quick registry fix in case you can't update your servers for some reason or another. But it is still, you know, quite hilarious because a lot of these organizations, like, they don't know. They have no idea. So this threat is going to be out there for a long time. Like, as we all know, like, you can search the internet and find, you know, threats that are supposed to have been mitigated 7 years ago that are still out there. And I just think this is a big deal because, you know, Active Directory is the key of identification for a lot of organizations. And this impacts DNS specifically, but what are DNS servers typically also running? Domain controllers as well. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just absolutely amazing, like, how we have yet to see the impact is what I'm trying to say. Like, because, you know, I know the federal government, for instance, in the U.S., they said that, you know, all federal agencies have, you know, one day basically to comply with the order to patch this critical vulnerability. Microsoft released it as a, you know, top scale, you know, critical vulnerability. And then a bunch of other rating agencies said, like, you know, it's a 10 out of 10, like, patch now, basically, you know, like, but no, yeah. So, I mean, we'll see. The way it was done as well is apparently, and granted, I'm not an expert in this at all, so forgive me. But apparently, you can increase the size of a certain type of DNS packet, and it overflows the memory buffer on the DNS server, and then it allows you to run some type of code. Now, like I said, I'm nowhere near an expert on any of this stuff, but it's like, haven't we been dealing with flaws like this forever now? Like, isn't this a very common flaw? Like, I know, John, you may know more about this than I do, but, like, haven't we figured out with, like, you know, various types of SQL and stuff, like, maybe we should patch all these issues?
Oh, yeah, buffer overflows have been around since, like, the dawn of computers. Like, it's just trying to find out, like, where they all are and how to mitigate against them is really the problem.
So has, I mean, they did confirm
through.
Go ahead.
So with this Microsoft bug, has this ever been exploited, like, on a huge scale?
See, we won't know. We won't know for a while. Gotcha. Now. Okay. It's going to take a while for, you know, security experts to, you know, analyze the results of breaches and then say, hey, this was the reason why. But, you know, we've had a lot of high profile breaches, you know, this year only. So, I mean, we just don't know what could have caused it. And, you know, typically companies aren't too, like, forthcoming, like, oh, here's what the problem in our network was.
True, yeah.
So it could have already been exploited, and we just didn't know. However, I mean, the best thing you can do at this point is make sure your DNS servers are patched and up to date. Microsoft did release patches as well as a registry update for servers. You know, I mean, you can patch your 2003 if, God forbid, you still have one. I mean, I have customers with 2003 servers. Don't laugh. It's serious. Like,
goodness gracious. Why?
You know, some things are not designed to run on modern OSs. And unfortunately, some of those systems are extremely important to organizations.
Say in hospitals you see it like with MRI machines still running like XP and stuff
True. That is true.
Either vendors will go out of business and not update the product, or they just make a new product and you're like, hey, if you want the new stuff, buy the new product. And you're like, I don't have $125,000 to buy a new MRI machine or whatever, you know?
Like, yeah. Or it's like a piece of software you had developed, you know, custom for your environment, and it's like, hey, do you want to pay us another $30,000 to upgrade it? And it's like, hell no, I don't. Like, what's wrong with you? You know, if it works, it works is the typical, like, you know, mindset around here. And, you know, we have to do our best to secure those servers. And I'm glad Microsoft not only released an update for the newer servers, which is totally acceptable, you know, for them. It's like, why are you running 2003 anyways? But they also released a way to patch your older systems to make them, you know, secure as well. And I think that that's awesome from their point.
No, it's definitely a step in the right direction.
Oh yeah, but yeah, note to self, patch your DNS servers.
good, all of them. Well, speaking of vulnerabilities and exploits, John, do you want to talk about Twitter?
Well, let me backtrack just a little bit. You mentioned the Nigerian Prince scam. And I'm just gonna go over the basic, like, kind of thinking behind it. So usually, like with the Nigerian Prince scam, we first saw as email, where it's like, hey, send me this little bit of money because I'm in trouble, and then once I get out of trouble, I'll send you a larger sum of money. Well, as we segue into my Twitter story, they kind of took an interesting approach, because instead of saying you will get a larger sum of money, they're like, hey, give me some money and I will double it and donate it to whatever cause, you know.
Okay.
So recently, Twitter was hacked on Wednesday, and a lot of high-profile Twitter accounts, like this is the largest scale we've ever seen, of stuff like Joe Biden, Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Uber, Apple, they were all breached simultaneously, and they all had the same kind of message they put out there. And it was something like, everyone is asking me to give back, and now is the time. Send me $1,000 in Bitcoin, and I'll send back, you know, $2,000.
Yeah.
Or something like that.
So the Nigerian Prince has evolved.
Yeah, so it's a natural evolution of the Nigerian Prince scam. And so, but Twitter, through some of their investigation that's still ongoing, they say it's a coordinated social engineering attack against its employees who have access to these, like, super admin internal tools, essentially. They all these messages had the same Bitcoin address. So, you know, nice thing about Bitcoin, it has that public ledger that anyone can check. And so people put it in there, and they've seen that these scammers have amassed over $120,000 in Bitcoins.
Jeez.
So God. That just shows you how stupid people really are. Like,
goodness gracious.
But they said they detected this attack, and they're still doing ongoing research. It does appear that this attack did happen a little bit earlier, focusing specifically on cryptocurrency-based Twitter accounts, stuff like CoinDesk and Ripple and Bitcoin, Coinbase, Binance. Those are all big names in the crypto space. But it's interesting how after that they went on to these high-profile, like, people who are either presidential candidates or CEOs of companies, you know, people that have a lot of weight.
Yeah, people trust them.
And they don't know if these attackers got access to, like, direct messages and stuff like that. They say this is really, like, kind of pathetic. Like, if you would spend all this time and find a Twitter and something such a big social media platform, why would you just try and scam some Bitcoin out of people? Like, obviously they got a decent amount, 120,000.
That's not bad.
Imagine all the stuff you could do with the, you know, blackmail against, say, Joe Biden or Jeff Bezos, or that's something they have that's a little sketchy in their DMs.
I mean,
in their DM.
But I guess I could see that though, because I mean, blackmail, that's a whole nother game. Like, that's a very dangerous game as well. But whereas, like, it's kind of the difference between, you know, if someone steals your wallet, they usually just take the cash and throw away the cards type thing. You know, it's a whole different realm to steal someone's credit cards or try to take someone's identity or something like that, rather than just taking the cash and running. So I guess I personally understand the, you know, just trying to get a quick buck off of these big names.
Well, and the thing is, I guarantee you, if they went to Twitter with this kind of thing, I bet Twitter has some kind of bug bounty program where they could have probably even got paid even more than what they got out of this Bitcoin.
That's true. Some people just want to see the world burn.
I was just going to add that they did change the account's email addresses once they had access to them to make it harder for the real user to regain control. That was the only thing I was going to add.
Yeah, it still kind of amazes me, man. Like, you know, like John was saying, like, you put so much work into this, and this is what you're going to do? Like, I mean, you could have done some, you know, some serious damage to, you know, especially like a presidential candidate, or, you know, Elon Musk does damage by himself. So, you could have further inflamed his, you know, his issue with the SEC, you know, if you were to hack, you know, let's say Trump's, Twitter, like, I mean, you could have done some serious, like, work, you know what I'm saying, before someone realized, like.
Maybe that wasn't their goal, though. Like I said, maybe they were just after a quick buck.
Well, and that's the interesting point. People have brought up Trump, and they've said, how come Trump and all his staffers and stuff didn't get targeted? It only seems to be some of these other people, like Joe Biden.
I don't know. Maybe they assumed if they went after the president, it would be more of a backlash or something. I don't know.
Elon Musk is a very interesting one, I'll say that.
Yeah, no comment.
What? Yeah, no comment? You got a problem with my man Elon?
I don't know. He just strikes
me. Must want to fight.
He just strikes me as very immature.
Oh, I see how you gonna be now.
I'm just saying, that's my personal opinion.
Well, it's interesting how they coordinated this all at the same time. So, like, say if you were someone and you were following a handful of these people, you'd be like, oh, there's just like some campaign doing, like, where they're all gonna give back and double our money or whatever.
Yeah, that does seem weird, and I don't know. I mean, I guess it would be easier if it wasn't cryptocurrency to track them, but I mean, how many people actually have that much Bitcoin to donate?
This is fairly accurate.
That's a lot of Bitcoin to go after. I mean, why would you go after Bitcoin? But I don't know. It doesn't seem like you would. I mean, obviously they got a ton of Bitcoin. I don't know how much that's worth, but that's a chunk of Bitcoin. But you'd think it would be a lot more lucrative if they went after something else rather than Bitcoin.
Well, they probably did Bitcoin because Bitcoin is borderless and there's it's harder to, like, track, and you can't really get Bitcoin reversed. You can't reverse the transactions like you can with, like, a debit card and a credit card.
Yeah, like I said, I understand why they went after crypto, but I don't know. It just seems like they could have done better, I guess. I don't know. Or they thought they were going to make a lot more. I'm not sure, but...
Hey, I'll take $120,000.
I mean, of course, yeah. Like I said, it's a huge chunk of Bitcoin, but... Still, it's how many people have that much Bitcoin to donate?
Yeah.
It wouldn't surprise me that a lot of people have it, because after the craze in, 2017, early 2018, a lot of people were talking about it. So I wouldn't be surprised if people are like, oh, I had this and went down. Might as well donate it to a good cause or whatever. And they just had some laying around or whatever.
I mean, maybe. I don't know how many people have Bitcoin laying around, but...
Don't you got some?
I got Bitcoin laying around. What do you mean? Yeah. Like,
I don't have any Bitcoin laying
around. Yeah, it's on my desk right now, you know.
I mean, I don't definitely have that much to make it worth stealing, but, you know, I got some.
No. Well, looking it up now, that's quite a chunk of change.
Yeah.
It's over $1 billion.
Well, yeah. No.
120,000 Bitcoin?
No, they got $120,000 worth of Bitcoin.
Oh, you said 120,000 Bitcoin. I was like,
no, okay, no, that's a no, good no, chunk no. of change.
Okay, no. That,
I was
That's nothing.
Man, if they got that much, props to them, man. Props to them.
Yeah, they could have got a ton more money just for the bug bounty program. Whoever did this is stupid.
Well, that's what people are calling them out. They're like, why would you go through all this? Like, because social engineering isn't just something that happens overnight. Like, especially if you have to specifically target employees that have these, like, God mode tools that you're looking for.
Maybe,
like,
it was an employee.
Who knows?
Whoa. Don't be throwing allegedly, out their accusations.
I'm just spitballing here, but I'm just saying. That would make a lot more sense, because that would require a lot less work by the person doing this.
Than their accusations.
asking questions, assuming?
Yeah, asking.
I'm just saying that, to me, that would make more sense. That it was an if it ends up coming out that it's an employee, that would make more sense. Because, like you said, social engineering, it's not easy, and you can't just do it all in a day. So, like
some minor social engineering attacks, yeah, they're pretty easy. But when you're going after, like, high-profile people, especially in a tech company, like,
that takes some
I'd argue it gets a little bit harder, and you have to figure out the organizational structure and stuff like that.
Exactly. And of that many people, like, I'm just saying, that seems a little fishy to me. But what do I know? I don't know. I'm not saying anything. I'm just saying. It makes sense to me. But so they haven't linked this back to anyone, correct? At least not
yet. Oh, no, the investigation is still ongoing.
Gotcha.
They haven't really commented much after what I've said.
Yeah. Yeah, I would assume they wouldn't say much until they actually know what's going on. But it's one of their employees.
Jesus. Join us on Conspiracy Mondays.
Yeah.
To how the Trump Organization caused Twitter to be hacked.
Oh my goodness.
Whoa. All these conspiracies, man. That's too much at what's out there, brother. Come on now. Like,
I'm just saying what makes sense to me. It makes sense that it would be an employee. I'm not saying it is, but
I see your point.
That takes a lot of work to get $120,000. Like, yeah, that's a lot of money, but come on. That would take a lot of work to get that much. That's not a good
point. I see your point. I see your point.
Anyways, I don't know. What do I know?
Probably the same amount that I know.
Exactly. You guys got anything else?
Nope.
If you have a link to the Iranian training videos, please comment it below. We'd love to watch those and do an in-depth review of some of their tactics.
I mean, honestly, yes, I would love to see them as well. As I said, I have not gone on tour yet to see if I can find them, but I could not find them on the web anywhere. They had, like, screenshots of it. Obviously, I'll put the links to those in the description, but I haven't seen the actual whole video. Which I would love to do, so I can actually decide for myself what's going on. But I don't even know if they would release it, because, like, to begin with, because it, from what they were saying, it's a step by step on how to hack Yahoo and Gmail. So yeah. I don't know if they would release those. I mean, I'm sure you can find some tutorial on it, but.
Now, every time you look this stuff up, you have some, like, 12-year-old, what is unregistered hypercam?
With, like, the old YouTube music, like, meow, 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 meow. Oh my goodness, those were the days of YouTube. Remember when YouTube was actually fun?
Yo.
Alright.
Alright, well, if y'all have anything else, we'll end it there.
That's about it.
Yep, that's about it. Okay, bye.